This is a podcast from Patriots.com.
Dude, just check it out. This is the sweetest thing I've ever done.
For information on this or any other Patriots podcast, visit Patriots.com.
Wow. And all this time I thought Googling yourself meant the other thing.
Now, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly and Lori Baranski.
Hi, I'm Lori Baranski. Welcome to the Ross Report Podcast, an official podcast of the New England Patriots. It's Friday, June 13th here at the stadium. Yeah, it's a rough one.
Are you scared?
I am scared.
You should be scared. You got some bad luck floating around you.
How come?
Because you are.
God
anyways,
loves me.
The guys from PFW are here. Andy Hart, Eric Scalvino, and Paul Perillo. What's been going on, guys?
A lot.
Like?
A busy week with the roster. Lots and lots of huge moves.
I think we actually got three different roster updates from the PR department.
I believe so. And even some that players I've never heard of before that were apparently on the roster for a segment of time. But we'll start recapping a move late last week. Mike Dragosevich, the favorite of Eric Scalvino.
I had him winning that job, yeah.
Removed from the team, and I will update that decision with some breaking news out of Foxborough. Fred Kirsch, the grand poobah here at Patriots.com and PFW, thinks there's an outside chance that Dragosevich will be brought back and that the release was simply a message.
Mm-hmm.
We all laughed at that and think you should laugh at that as well and not put any credence in it.
Yeah, he brought that theory forth yesterday in PFW in Progress and said that
feels like just
because
today.
He went to Larry Izzo's Larioki charity event, he feels too comfortable
and
with
has
himself.
The history of the YouTube clip
so
that maybe they had to send
a
message.
It was a message sent to Dragosevich, and that's why
he's a little too demonstrative, and he's not yet on
too
the team.
A little too comfortable.
For his britches and for a 6'4 guy. Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
6'5, I think.
One
six
of
five.
The more odd Fred Kirsch theories.
And there's a lot of them.
And,
anyway.
Yeah, there's a lot to choose from.
Moving on from there, Gene Merchkowski was signed, offensive lineman, formerly of the Patriots, most recently with the Miami Dolphins, 15 games last year in Miami.
He would have to be on our spelling bee, our NFL spelling bee.
Yes.
M-R-U-C-Z.
Of the famous
Kowski.
Merchkowski brothers. Quite the offensive line family coming out of the Merchkowski household. Of course, his brother, I'll go with Steve here, plays for the Chargers. Not sure what his first name is. Anyway.
For our purposes, we'll call him Steve.
Moving on from there, the team started to pare down the roster. Moving forward towards the 80-man roster limit that fans have heard so much about this spring and coaches readying for training camp and worried about the lack of NFL Europe roster exemptions, Patriots released trio of rookie free agents in tight end.
Tyson DeVree.
Nose tackle. Hank Smith out of where? Louisville.
Not to be confused with Big Smith.
True. That was Little Smith.
And finally, a guy I've never heard of, Casey Tyler.
D-line.
Defensive lineman. Never heard of him, never saw him, and never will, because now he's no longer a New England Patriot.
Well, so a trio of guys. Turns out to be an all-pro somewhere else.
Yeah, that won't happen.
Okay.
And then the next
Yosemite Sam.
Yosemite Sam. Scott Player, the veteran punter brought in before Dragosevich this spring, was waived as recently as yesterday, bringing the Patriots down to single specialists. Mm-hmm. Lonnie Paxton, long snapper, Steven Gostkowski, kicker, and Chris Hansen of the famed longest drive competition recently.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the famed Hansen brothers.
No, not your favorite musical group.
Slapshot, you moron.
But you are a big fan of the Hansen brothers. We'll save that for a PFW in Progress show. But the Patriots down to single specialists at each of the three spots there. The offensive line looks like it's a developing situation. Paul Perillo, Gene Merchkowski brought back on board. Oliver Ross brought on board a couple weeks ago. And Barry Sims, who started 16 games at left tackle for the Raiders last year, a veteran free agent in 9 seasons, was in for a visit. What does it all mean?
Well, I think that the easy answer, the obvious answer,
you
would
never
have
give
to be,
that one.
It's coming, you know, it's coming in light of the Nick Cashew situation.
Yes,
that I just really don't know, and there's no way to know exactly how that's going to come out right now. So I think that the Patriots are just doing some work to get some insurance, gather insurance for guys that could potentially step in. In addition to that, and you mentioned this on PFW in Progress yesterday, Andy, the injuries they have on the line with Steven Neal, Ross, that you already talked about, he hasn't participated in anything. He has a broken collarbone, reportedly. So these guys that are being rumored to come in, actually you're going to need to fill some spots, at least in the short term.
They need to get healthy.
Going forward, when everybody's healthy, and if the Cashew situation unfolds favorably for the Patriots and he's still here, then I think you have some competition.
What does it say, and I'll open this up to both of you, we looked at the offensive line as a position where not only were they returning their 5 starters, but they were returning a slew of veteran backups.
Four backups, so it all started.
Mm-hmm. Billy Yates, Russ Hochstein, Wesley Britt, Ryan O'Callaghan. Does this say anything about the team's lack of comfort with any of those guys stepping into roles that they may have been asked to fill?
Yeah, I wondered about that with Kazier in particular, because they had him lined up at right guard in place of Neal.
Right, during minicamp.
What did that say about Hochstein or Yates? You know, two guys that had started at that spot in the past.
Started now, key games in that
right,
spot in the past.
Right. So, you know, I don't know if that's an indication that they're looking to maybe get younger with some of those backups, maybe a little bit less expensive. I don't know. I don't know. I don't have the answer to that.
Or maybe they feel that Kazier might be a better fit at guard. Maybe they're trying to get him a little bit of work there.
Yeah, but I'm saying if you have the uncertainty of what Kazier is going to do.
Right, I'm saying if that's not know. If the uncertainty isn't there and they're just planning for the future, maybe they're thinking, hey, maybe he's not the right tackle.
I think you're onto something there in terms of planning for the future, in that maybe they've decided Stephen Neal, with his recurring shoulder issues, is not a guy that they can any longer count on and say, he's our right guard for now, next week, next month, next year. And maybe they say, of the bodies we have to work with, Nick Kazier, a versatile, athletic guy, maybe he's our right guard and can be our right guard moving forward. O'Callaghan has starting experience. Maybe they look at that as more of a long-term solution than just Russ Hochstein's going to start for 2 weeks, because I'm not sure they see Russ Hochstein as one of their best five offensive linemen.
It's interesting.
I think Russ Hochstein is always going to be a number six or number seven offensive lineman. Very good, sure guy, off the bench. You can throw him guard, center, do whatever. But I'm not sure that Warren Sapp might not have been right in that he's not a Super Bowl champion starting offensive lineman that, you know, you play every down of every game all year long.
Yeah, it's an interesting theory, no doubt. And you know,
Paul
maybe
Perillo's stamp of approval on that theory.
No, I'm giving you guys credit. I didn't come up with that. I didn't really even give that any thought. I'm giving you guys credit. What do
We're
you want
cerebral,
me to think?
Eric and I.
Yeah, well, it was Eric.
He likes
theory.
Art. I like football.
Eric's theory, you know, as usual, you just glommed onto someone else's thoughts.
As usual, he had problems articulating it.
I had no problem articulating it. I think you understood exactly what I said.
Wondering going forward, though, you know, with, you know, a Barry Sims or someone, you know, that is that the right tackle? Or is Ryan O'Callaghan, Wesley Britt? Britt looked like
Oliver Ross.
Britt looks a little different to me in terms of he looked a little thinner.
Slimmed down, I was going to say.
To me, than I remember seeing him in the past. I don't know if that's accurate.
He was not overly fat to start with.
No.
No, he was.
No. He looks like a pretty athletic tackle.
He just got married, too, so maybe he, you know, had to, you know, fit into that tux for the wedding or something. You know.
I was going
to
say, what? Get busy on
I don't know what you're
or
talking about over there, Eric. You never know where you're going to go with this show.
Recently.
Just dragging it into the gutter, into the post-wedding bedroom. Why you got to go there? Anyway, those are all the moves, and since Two Gender, our producer today, seems to play the music louder and louder as we go along, I think he wants us to stop talking.
In an effort to stop talking.
So with that, on this Friday the 13th, with all the boogeyman spirits, we go back to Lori.
Thanks, guys. Join us again next week for a new Ross Report podcast. Thanks for listening, and go Pats!
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.